following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
The Patriot and the Preacher, where politics and religion do mix, starts right now. Here are your hosts.
And welcome everybody to The Patriot and the Preacher. I'm your Patriot, Mark Anthony, and we are welcoming today Mario Murillo as our preacher. Welcome, Mario.
Wow, this is exciting. This is going to be an amazing time for me.
It is. It's good to have you. Now, you know, you mentioned this not long ago, but when the show started 4 years ago, you were the man that I asked to join me. Remember?
That is correct.
So it finally, correct. It finally happened.
Yeah, it just took me a while to finally respond to your request.
It is good to have you with us. This is going to be fun.
Thank you.
It's good.
It's going to be fun.
We are, yeah. And, you know, we've said this many times. If we could just record our telephone conversations, it would be good for radio, right?
Right.
So we've got Mario. You know this lady well. She's an inspiration to everybody, which is Star Parker. She's going to join us. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Wonderful woman. You know, Mario, what I like about Star is that Star is not only an evangelist for this country, but her story is one of transformation, right? Where she came from and what God's done in her life is just amazing, isn't it?
It's stunning. It's a stunning journey that she's been on.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And so that's why she's able to go out to the urban areas and say, I know where you are and what you're feeling right now, because she's been there. So we're excited to have her come on, because Star's launching a new TV show. She's got Cure that she's been running for a while, the Center for Urban Renewal. And so she's going to sit down and talk to us about that, because God's using her in a big way. So Mario, just tell the listeners, you know, a lot of people have heard your name before. You started back on the campus of UC Berkeley, right? Doing these revival. Tell the listeners about that.
Well, back in the 1900s, I love saying that. at the height of the anti-war movement, I came to Berkeley as basically a teenager. I was 19 years old. God told me that there would be an outpouring of His Spirit on that campus, which I found incredible and unbelievable. But it certainly did take place, and I ended up spending 10 years there converting young people by the power of God from every background, race, religion, from atheists to Muslims, found the Lord in powerful encounters. And it launched our international ministry, which now is going to be celebrating its 50th year of doing crusades around the world.
Wow. Wow. That is amazing. You have been doing it since then. You've been everywhere, haven't you? I mean, you've been everywhere. You've been all over this country, sold out crowds in the Bay Area and beyond. So it's an honor to have you on this show with us.
Well, I also want to say you're doing an excellent job, Mark, and it's powerful to be able to team up like this. You know, it took a real dealing of God for me to understand the title, Patriot and the Preacher, how these two work together, and how urgent it is for the body of Christ in the United States to be aware of what's happening in their government, aware of their rights, and aware of what the Bible teaches about being active and involved in understanding what's happening. You know, America is a miracle that we have to protect. We have to understand how God wants us to protect it, and we have to see the threats that are against it.
That's right. That's right. And because that miracle is there, we've got to protect this gift, right, Mario? We've got to stand up.
Yeah,
and
we do.
And speak the truth. And you do that all the time. And I know we're going to talk about this in the news segment coming up. You've been writing a blog for a long time, and it's got a lot of followers. And you have been speaking the truth about what we need to do as a nation to get this nation, to restore it to where it needs to be, right?
That's correct. And I'm anxious to get to that. I really believe that we have things to offer the audience today that are very, very valuable and timely. And we got to get them out as soon as possible.
There you go. All right. So everybody stick with us. We're going to be right back. The news is coming up. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back. Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
You can call 800-519-2222 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code MARK.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And the preacher. So there's been a lot going on, Mario. And as we've watched the press, really, at this point, really, they're out of control. Rachel Maddow, as you know, released, or...
Yes.
She didn't really release them. The truth is, two of my sources are saying that the president released them himself. But she made such a big deal out of the two pages of his tax returns, and... At the end of the day, it's actually backfiring on the liberal press, isn't it?
Well, it's the most gigantic nothing burger. I wanted to say nothing burger because it's going to become a cliche soon, so I'm going to use it while I still can. I think that Colbert on The Late Show did the best job of mocking her, a fellow liberal leftist. And it was just – he was telling about – I have this piece of paper and it's this joke and I'm going to define. And then he put up a picture of a definition of a joke, and it's, why did the chicken cross the road? Then he said, but let me talk to you about chickens first and before I give you the punchline. And that's exactly what it was. And mm-hmm. It was absurd. And it was a unvarnished attempt at ratings is all it was.
That's right.
She is predicated her entire career now on bashing Trump. That's it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more to her.
That's right. That's exactly right. And she, you know, the liberals for the first time ever are celebrating that she got 4 million viewers and that in that particular day she beat O'Reilly. But Mario, for 16 years, O'Reilly's been number one. So you don't become the leader just because you had 2 or 3 days of good ratings. And what you did was a ratings grab anyways.
Yes, it's all it was. And you're not going to sustain that because she really dented whatever credibility and goodwill, and she just lost it. She just lost it.
Yeah, I agree. So a couple more things, because we want to get to
right.
What you wrote in your latest blog. You made some great points. Now, this kind of goes along into the category of really what's wrong and how far we slipped in this country. So we know about the IRS and really how it was weaponized by the Obama administration to go after his political enemies. We know the IRS is really hard to deal with. Nobody wants to have to deal with them. Nobody wakes up in the morning saying, I get to talk to the IRS. But this is interesting. A after school club, but this one's different. It was an after-school Satan club, received fast-track tax-exempt status from the IRS in record time in Tacoma, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile.
And meanwhile what?
The Christian club had to wait years and is still not given the status. Still waiting.
See, that's a huge data point. That's not just a little one. That's a huge data point that Christian group is still waiting, but somehow a Satan after school club gets fast-tracked by the IRS. Mario, it's just...
Yeah. You know, what goes into that, it's almost like insult to injury. It's almost as though we're at that point in our history where we do, these people do things that insult the intelligence of their own base, that says, this is how far we can go, and no one is going to say anything. No one's going to find it outrageous that a Satan club gets fast-tracked and that Christian clubs are waiting indefinitely. It's so blatant, but that's where we are right now. It's a very blatant moment.
It is, and it's a clear, blatant moment. You're right. By the way, I just wanted to let you know, I know you saw this article, but the audience will be interested to hear this part of it, that, you know, in order to get into this club, you've got to you ask for the name of the child, parents' names, and that the superintendent of the Tacoma School District, that after-school Satan clubs are led by caring Satanists. So they have a heart, Mario. We don't have anything to worry about. It'll be
our... That's a self-canceling phrase.
Yes.
Right there.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Totally a self-canceling statement.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. One more thing that I saw that I think is another indicator of where we are. So, you know, believe it, there was a story a couple weeks ago. I think this was in Washington, if I remember correctly, that a judge actually helped a criminal who was in trouble for DUI escape because she knew that the ICE agents were going to be coming for him. And so she let him slip out
right.
One of the back doors. Well,
right.
It turns out that CBS, of all places in Los Angeles, is reporting that, listen to this, ICE agents are now going to courthouses to arrest undocumented immigrants, and attorneys are upset. And here's why they're upset. They're not upset that these people are here illegal, Mario. They're upset, prosecutors and attorneys, they think that it will discourage undocumented immigrants from appearing in court to testify as witnesses for prosecutors. Yeah.
Wow. And you could say that all in one sentence. That was astounding.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was astounding.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I guess, you know, Mario, we talked about, you and I have talked about this for many years. Look how soft. Can you believe this? These people are outraged because an ICE agent arrested this illegal immigrant inside of a courthouse, you know, a court of law. And listen to this. This is the criminal defense attorney said this. It was very shocking because it occurred inside a courthouse.
Yeah.
And the
yeah. You know, let me comment that, you know, there are recordings of 9/11 calls, and this one is reminiscent of the guy who was robbing a liquor store, and the guy behind the counter wouldn't serve him properly while he was robbing him. So he called 911 to report the liquor store clerk. That's what we're talking about.
That is what we're talking about. Mario, that's a really good analogy. Mario, you just recently published your latest blog, and I think that it's something we definitely need to address, because there are things that you brought up that are really important overall that we need to take a look at, because we're being confused by all kinds of different messages out there. And I think that this is something that we've got to look at and take notice of. You said that this is the most dangerous time that you've ever seen. And you have been around since during the Vietnam War, and there was a lot of chaos.
Right.
Why do you think this is the most dangerous time that we've ever seen in this country?
Well, I hate to answer a question with a question, but I'm going to ask, who do you think is in charge of this nation? I mean, let's look at it factually, and I'm saying that rhetorically.
Right.
ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, Google, Apple, Microsoft, Hollywood, every Ivy League school, plus the Democratic Party are acting like they are the underground resistance.
Right.
And they are acting as if Donald Trump has made them go and hide in revolutionary bunkers. They're already in control. I even developed a new name for them. You know, they always have these liberation fronts. This is the AICLF, the Already in Control Liberation Front, and they've redefined reality.
Yes. Okay.
One is journalism. So Jorge Ramos gets the Walter Cronkite Award for Journalism. And he openly admitted, he said, you know what, I am going to use lies, whatever means possible, to defeat Trump. And he absolutely gets an award for being a journalist when he is absolutely not. Definition of hate, it's hate. If you say, I want to stop terrorists from getting into America, it's hate to want borders, to keep murderers, rapists, and drugs out of our neighborhoods. Hate if a young girl doesn't want to see a naked boy in the women's locker room. It's all hate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the most dangerous, and then I'll just leave it, is the idea of self-defense. Self-defense. These people that attacked UC Berkeley, where I was, not when I was there, but when Milo went there, and I don't agree with everything Milo says or does. But I'll tell you this, they called it self-defense because words are now the same as a physical attack.
Right, that's
so
right.
So if you say something, and we're not entitled to any disagreeable thought or intention, and that's an amazing, you know, and Jake Curtis in The Federalist said this, the actual tactics, you remember Tim Kaine said about his son, you know, my son understands peaceful protests. But to be sure, he says, there were no means peaceful or respectful of Trump supporters to express their views.
Right. That's right.
The danger and what's frightening is these tactics are no longer relegated to the fringes. It's the left.
It is the left. This is who they are.
The mainstream left.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's what's dangerous.
Yeah. And
incredibly dangerous.
It is incredibly dangerous because, as you pointed out in what you wrote, these people at UC Berkeley, quote, said, we are happy with the results. And we were able to meet Mr. Yiannopoulos' fascist message with massive resistance. So we're going to once we have some great guests coming up, we're going to pick this up towards the end of the show, because there's even a bigger message that you wrote about, and it was directed obviously right at your Christian audience. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. So everybody stay with us. Star Parker's coming up, and so is Joe Messina. We're going to be right back.
Hey everyone, it's Mark Anthony, and we want to let you know about PureFlix.com. It is a wonderful streaming video service that features faith and family movies, television shows, documentaries, and lots more. And the best part is you can watch the shows anytime, anywhere, on your phone, tablet, or laptop. PureFlix.com is currently offering our listeners a free one-month trial subscription. We've checked it out, and you should too. If you're looking for a wholesome alternative to cable television or some of the other video streaming services, PureFlix.com is just the ticket. Sign up today by going to thepatriotandpreachershow.com and click on the PureFlix banner ad. That's thepatriotandpreachershow.com and click on that PureFlix banner ad.
Hello, friend. This is Pat Boone, and like you, I put at the top of my priority list things I want to do and not miss the radio show that Mark Anthony and Ben Kinchlow do called The Patriot and the Preacher. And if you're not listening to it regularly, you're missing out. And I strongly recommend that you make it an item at the top of your list of priorities.
Hey everyone, it's Mark Anthony. I know I keep talking about MyPillow, but that's because it's truly changed my life. I've had over 7 spinal surgeries on my neck and back, and I've never been able to get a good night's sleep. But now, after trying MyPillow, I am getting the best night's sleep I've ever had before. Trust me, MyPillow has made a believer out of me. Now you may say, what makes MyPillow so great? Well, MyPillow lets you adjust it to your exact needs, regardless of your sleep position, and it stays that way all night long. Look, this company has a 10-year warranty, guaranteed not to go flat, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Think about it. MyPillow has an amazing offer for our listeners. If you call 1-800-519-2222 and use the promo code MARK, you can take advantage of Mike's four-pack special. You'll get 40% off of two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. It's an amazing deal. And on top of that, you get free shipping of any order over $100. Call right now, 800-519-2222, and use the promo code MARK. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain with the 60-day money-back guarantee and free shipping. Trust me, MyPillow will make a believer out of you.
And you know that jingle.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Don't forget to call 1-800-519-2222 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code MARK.
And welcome back to The Patriot and the Preacher. Joining us today is a good friend of mine in the show, Star Parker. Star, thanks for coming back on. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It's good to be back on with you, Mark.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, Star Parker. So, Star, you are working closely with President Trump in something that's very near and dear to your heart, which is poverty in the inner cities. Tell the listeners what you're working on right now.
Well, it's interesting because it's a new relationship building, because President Trump has made it clear that he wants to fix our inner cities. He talked about it through the campaign, asked blacks, what do you have to lose? He asked them to vote for him. They did not. He received about 8% of the black vote, but that didn't stop him from still having this compassion, or I guess you could even call it just passion, to fix the inner cities, because he then again mentioned it in his inaugural presentation and then in his presentation to the Congress. He's also hired a team of people that are moving toward ideas to fix the inner cities. He has placed Mrs. Betsy DeVos over at Department of Education, which is a personal friend and good idea. He has placed Dr. Ben Carson over at HUD, which is a dear friend and a good idea. He has placed Congressman Tom Price over at HHS, which umbrellas most of the welfare programs. I know Tom, he's a good man, and that's a good idea. And he has someone inside of the White House that's working on urban policy and revitalization. This is where CURE is now working. Someone told the administration about us and our work. I've been based here in Washington, D.C., working on anti-poverty initiatives and new ideas, market-based solutions to fight poverty, for about 10 years full-time. I've been working on the ideas since welfare reform in the 90s. And so we've met with the administration, and we will be working very, very closely with them on ideas to fix our inner cities.
That is really good news that he's taken that on and that you're working with him. Start, when you were at the inauguration, you're in D.C., and people right now are wondering whether or not this president can succeed in this climate of what's going on with the press and a lot of loyalists that have been there for a long time to the other side. What is your take on that right now?
My take on it is that half the American people spoke about the conditions of the society and they were not pleased. They want a biblical and free society as opposed to a secular and status society that we have had under the last 8 years. So they changed leadership. They went to the polls in droves in November and said, we just aren't doing this anymore. The heart of America, those that get up on Sunday morning and go to church, Monday morning they wake their kids up and force them to school and they go to work. That part of America said that they are just no longer satisfied with the direction that the country was going in. $20 trillion of debt scared them, as well as Obamacare and many of the other, the religious liberty issues, the marriage changes, the abortion numbers, the list is long for what America had become, that they were frustrated with. So they changed leadership, not just here in Washington, to allow for the Congress, both the House and the Senate, to be Republican, but also the White House. And not just here, but all across the country. Now Republican control 33 governorships, I believe it is, and 24 state legislatures, to where they also have the governor, and then many other state legislatures where they might have a Democrat in charge. America spoke. The heart of America spoke that we're just not going to do the status quo. That said, the rumbling that we're hearing in the press that you just mentioned is the rumbling of change. I've been telling people, first of all, regarding the Democrats, it's like moving in next door to a train track. When the realtor brought you to the house, they forgot to tell you there was a train track running in the back, but they brought you during the time that your train wasn't running.
Right.
Now the train's running. Well, over time, you have to just ignore the train. Pretty soon, you don't even hear it anymore. But with regards to what the chaos that many are saying is occurring here in Washington, this rumbling of change is like in a restaurant. You're in the fine restaurant, the candle's on the tablecloth is set, the music's piped in. But if you go in the kitchen, it's loud. We're in the kitchen. We get to hear the kitchen because of news, because of the internet, because of 24-hour cycle. But let's not lose perspective that the change is occurring, and our opportunity to sit at that fine dine table is coming, and we're working on it.
Yes, we are. We're all working it collectively.
We're working on it. We want freedom. Yes.
We do want freedom. We want
freedom.
That's right.
We got to get there.
That's right. We want our country back, right? We want to get back.
Exactly. You know, no, you're right. And that's what people said. Wait a minute. Who is this? This is not us. We want our country back. And, you know, there's a line in Hamilton. I had opportunity to see it. And it's about winning the Revolutionary War. They didn't think they were going to win. Come on. This was like the Motley Crue up against a big establishment. But there's this one line when they actually won. They just say, we won. Then he says, we won? And then they said, we won.
Yeah.
So you have to get to that reality. First, the question mark. We won. How did that happen?
Right.
And then you get into the excitement of, wait a minute, we won. That's what's occurring right now. No one expected this. I was even a doubting Thomas. It was just no way. I remember the day of election, I'm sitting there, we're pacing the floor. And then the reality hits. We won.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to get down to the business of what will we do now that we are in charge. On Obamacare, it's repeal and replace. We have to do something. So, yes, we're repealing, and then we're replacing. And Rand Paul has an incredible replacement plan. But that means everyone has to rally about one plan. It's just noisy to get to freedom. And we are going to get the freedom just like our country got the freedom when we won the Revolutionary War.
That's a great analogy. Do you agree with Rand Paul that the plan that's been proposed is flawed in many ways?
Well, I think that you'd be hard-pressed not to think the plan that's being proposed is flawed in many ways, because there's a reality that many of the congressional leaders are looking at, and even the president is looking at, that I have to agree with as well. There are many Americans that have bought into this lie of Obamacare. They're on the system now. If overnight you say you're no longer on, then they no longer are covered. They no longer have access. I know personally people who, for the first time in their adult life since Obamacare passed, went to the doctor because they did not have access. There is a large, chronically poor portion of our population that did not have access to even health insurance. That population that works every day, so they're not qualified financially to be on Medicaid, but their boss doesn't offer them an opportunity to buy into their insurance, and the insurance apparatus is so corrupted that they can't buy it in the individual marketplace either, even if they had the money. So there is concern about this group. And what Paul Ryan is saying is, let's get Medicaid out into the states and let them devise a plan to help their people. The challenge is there are some people in our society that don't want to help anybody, and that's tough. But what Rand Paul is saying is true. This is a big government bill, and it's comprehensive. It's not something that perhaps should be done this way. It should be repeal and replace. When you repeal, if you haven't decided what you're going to replace it with, then it's hard to do it on the same day. So I think that the Congress is to decide on which repeal opportunity they really like and rally it. Mark Meadows, congressman from North Carolina, is offering the same package that Senator Rand Paul, senator from the great state of Kentucky, is offering. And frankly, I really like it. It is a market-based plan to drive health care, health insurance, health costs, and so that everybody can live in a society of freedom. And the reason that I trust Rand Paul with developing out these ideas is he also is a medical doctor.
Imagine
advice on this.
Imagine that, right? To have somebody that knows what they're talking about, right?
Right. So I think we should listen. And then, you know what? And if it doesn't work out, then in a couple of years, start tweaking around the edges. But to tweak around the edges of Obamacare, I'm not sure that that's the best thing to do. But I'm not a health care specialist either. So yeah, I have to trust. And the challenge for me is I trust people on both sides of this debate. So I'm going to take the scriptural thing that says getting in someone else's battle is like taking a dog by its ears. So I think I'm just going to just kind of stay out of this one. Good men are weighing in on it. Tom Price is also a medical doctor and is an excellent, thoughtful person to be over at HHS who understands a whole lot of the more fundamental. Paul Ryan, congressman from Wisconsin, is a dear friend, and I've known him since he came to Washington, and I trust his heart. I know him. I know that he really is moving toward freedom, but this might be the messy kitchen that he has to be in to get there. That I don't know what kind of rules they're up against, what kind of Senate they need to pass whatever it is. They might have to take the incremental approaches. So those devils are in the details, and I'd rather not weigh in on and speak outside of what I absolutely know, which is I want freedom. I want flexibility. I want people that are the weakest link to have options and the responsibility to buy an insurance plan. You know, what had to stop is the folks that just do nothing with their lives, and then when they finally get sick, they go and throw the bill to somebody else, and they don't even think about it. That group really does have to be pulled into the mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't allow people to drive around without car insurance, so why would we want people to go through all of their life without health insurance? So we have to find a market-based way for them to get that insurance without excuse and be penalized if they don't. I agree that they should be the same way when people drive around without auto insurance are penalized if they get caught driving around without auto insurance. We should have some type of penalty for people who think they can just float through life on somebody else's dollar when it comes to their health care.
Uh-oh, Star. There's a lot of people that have a problem with that, but I agree with you because you're exactly right, because the people that aren't insured.
Somebody has to pay for it.
That's right.
Why would they have a problem with that? Somebody has to pay. When you get sick and you go to the hospital and you didn't have any type of insurance and you never thought about it, who gets that bill? The hospital?
Right.
The doctor? Mm-hmm. The taxpayer? Somebody has to pay for it. The same way, if I'm going to keep bringing up an auto insurance. If you're driving a car and you get in an accident and people get hurt, who picks up that bill?
That's right.
And we don't allow irresponsibility there.
That's right.
So why would we don't even allow irresponsibility when it comes to your homeowner's insurance? Because when your homeowner insurance lapses, you hear from the bank immediately.
Mm-hmm.
The bank says, you better renew your policy.
We've got
to notice it. And the reason I know this is because that happened to me. My insurance had lapsed on from Allstate, and my bank contacted me and said, you owe us money on an uninsured house, you better get that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I sure did.
I bet you it's right.
You could do that on these types of commodities that you don't really need, that we're not talking life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Then why wouldn't we on something is fundamental to everybody who touches that person's life, there's emotionally charged challenges when somebody goes in the hospital and now they're on their last leg and the family's standing there and they find out they didn't have insurance. All of us should demand that. No, you have to be responsible enough to those that care about you to insure yourself.
Yeah, I agree. The noise is really at a high pitch right now about this supposed spying that happened. And, you know, you have always got a level head whenever I ask your opinion. Do you believe that it's within the realm of possibility that former President Obama abused his power to spy on President Trump?
Without naming names, I believe that America have the capacity through their governmental offices to do such, and it's not the first time in history. You keep in mind that during the 60s, the way that we found out that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was in adultery was because under Bobby Kennedy, who was the Attorney General at the time, they decided to wiretap. Wiretapping is not new in how we gather information. Would I put it past that administration to try to destroy the next administration? No, I would not at all. This is politics, and power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. As Lord Acton said, people will do anything. The scripture is full of occasion of when politicians get a little bit of power. That's the reason that our founders were so brilliant in dividing government.
Mm-hmm.
What we as American people have to do is help keep it divided. because mm-hmm. we need that three-part government that checks and balances.
That's
because
right.
the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So no, I wouldn't put it past them at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them to be listening to our conversation right now. Every corner now has both cameras on it.
Yeah.
This is really? So, yeah, there's a big police state, a deep state. People are missing all the time, and nobody knows what happened to them. No, it's not new. We can be upset, and we have a whole lot of media outlets to this time, and for the first time maybe in history, to be able to get the information out there and build a challenge against it. But it's not like it never occurred throughout history. It's occurred all the way throughout history.
That's right, it has. Hey, Star, just for a moment, if we could, because we've talked about this many times when you've come on, but we have a whole new batch of listeners, and there are many people that are listening right now that don't understand your story, that don't know the Star Parker that we are talking to today, the one that's out there fighting to bring renewal to the urban areas. You are like an evangelist for them. But there are a lot of people that just don't know what God has done in your life. And you,
yeah, and why I'm so passionate. Yeah.
Why you're so passionate, and that's why I love you, by the way. And I love hearing.
I know.
And so when you and I, every time you and I connect personally, it's always a blessing. Yeah. But if you could just for a moment share with the listeners how God has transformed your life and why you are who you are today.
Well, I appreciate that because I believe I have a mantle to help those that are still in the place where I was, which is the start of this show, that we're going to fix these inner cities. Because it's not about a city, it's about a human being who is very lost. Many that are trapped in ghettos and very lost, perhaps because of their lot in life. And I believe the lies of the left. I believe the lies that they're believing today. I believe that the poor were poor because the wealthy were wealthy. I believe that my problems were somebody else's fault. I believe that America was so racist I didn't need to mainstream. And when you start building that out as your worldview, which is overwhelmingly the messages in our hardest hit communities, it's easy to get really lost. And I did start living for today, criminal activity, drug activity, sexual activity, everything that we read about these communities. I was in there. I was there in the abortion clinic, in the welfare state, 7 years in and out, 3.5 years consistently in a little dark hole. And it wasn't until somebody preached Christ to me. They talked about the gospel. They talked about God. They talked about God was in Christ and reconciled the world to himself, that he wasn't counting my sin against me. I hadn't even thought about sin. I didn't even think it was sin. That he loved me. I didn't know anyone could love me. I didn't love me. That he died for me. Well, I wouldn't die for me. Well, mm-hmm. Maybe I would. I was on his path to suicide. And that he cared. So that's what changed my life. And when I was availed to this new information, I changed. I started going to church. I got truth in me. I got a college degree. I went and got a job. I built a business. After the business was destroyed during the 1992 Los Angeles riots, I just had this fixation inside that I needed to do something more than just talk about these issues. I needed to fix these issues, and found myself on this journey to open Urban Cure, establish it here in Washington, D.C. as a policy institute, and help promote what Reagan said. The answer to poverty is freedom and personal responsibility. It's not a welfare state. So I believe charity belongs to the church and to community, and so I want the government out of the charity business. Did you know we spent $24 trillion now in this war on poverty?
Wow.
Did you know that we spend $900 billion a year, a quarter of the budget? Our national budget is $4 trillion. A quarter of that budget, just in the federal, is spent on these anti-poverty programs, and no one can mention one that's working. And yet, look what we've done as a society to the lives of the poor, trap them in those ideas that America's not for you, it doesn't care about you, this is what you're going to be, your lot in life is it. And that's just not true. And I'm a living witness. It's not true in my personal life. And so now I'm a missionary to make sure that others know that it's not true. So I want money to follow children to the schools the parents want. I want vouchers. I want money to follow people that are trapped in ghettos and on HUD to be able to go to live wherever they want to without any strings attached. I want freedom. I think that we should have market-based ideas to fight poverty. I think that if a corporation goes into the ghetto, that they shouldn't be charged any taxation against doing that, so that they can now build out jobs in those communities where they desperately need them. I think individuals should be able to give money directly to outreaches and charities that open their doors for those that are poor and that are on drugs and that are in crises. But as they work them through their life problems, they should have the resources they need. Why send it to Washington? where 20 cents on a dollar actually gets to the homes that we say we're trying to help. Let them send it directly for dollar tax credit. But we have a lot of ideas that we're championing here, and now we have a window of opportunity with this Trump administration to maybe get some of those ideas into national law. When we do, I'm going home to California. I'm going to have to grandkids.
So when the mission's accomplished, you're going to leave D.C., is that right?
When the mission's accomplished, I'm going to California. Got my little house I have there. I kiss my grandkids yet again and hang around them a whole lot more than I do now. Just visit them once a month. Yeah, I sure am. Maybe write a few more books.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, Star, that you... I know the listeners love you and your passion, and what I really love about you is that you're such an amazing story about God's transformation, how when you surrender to God, he can use you in mighty ways, right?
I'm in awe. I'm just like, really? I should have been in jail. Armed robbery. Really? My whole life, I'm in awe.
Yeah.
God actually choose me to do this and constantly keeping us open. You know, we're a 501c3, so individuals give us money to keep us open. I get nothing from government and don't want anything from government. And I'm just in awe that he just touches people's heart to say, keep going. He's a good guy.
He's a good God,
and our Savior Jesus Christ is this incredible friend.
Yeah. Amen. Star, it's always good having you on. God bless you. Look forward to talking to you again. Thank you, Star Parker. Thank you. You have a great day, and thanks for joining us again. All right. This is The Patriot and the Preacher. That was Star Parker, and we're going to be right back. Hey everyone, it's Mark Anthony. I know I keep talking about MyPillow, but that's because it's truly changed my life. I've had over 7 spinal surgeries on my neck and back, and I've never been able to get a good night's sleep. But now, after trying MyPillow, I am getting the best night's sleep I've ever had before. Trust me, MyPillow has made a believer out of me. Now you may say, what makes MyPillow so great? Well, MyPillow lets you adjust it to your exact needs, regardless of your sleep position, and it stays that way all night long. Look, this company has a 10-year warranty guaranteed not to go flat, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Think about it. MyPillow has an amazing offer for our listeners. If you call 1-800-519-2222 and use the promo code MARK, you can take advantage of Mike's 4-pack special. You'll get 40% off of 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. It's an amazing deal. And on top of that, you get free shipping of any order over $100. Call right now, 800-519-2222, and use the promo code MARK. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain with the 60-day money-back guarantee and free shipping. Trust me, MyPillow will make a believer out of you.
And you know that jingle.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Don't forget to call 1-800-519-2222 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code MARK.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
And we're back with The Patriot and the Preacher. We want to thank, of course, one of my favorite people, Star Parker. I want to get back to this blog, Mario, that you wrote, because I think there are some really important messages, especially for our conservative Christian listeners right now. You brought up something that kind of hit me between the eyes, because I think it'll touch the hearts of a lot of people here. You said that you cannot pray the Lord's Prayer without expecting marching orders. You cannot utter those sacred words and then enter a pulpit that denies the danger your congregation faces. So talk about that, Mario.
Well, a lot of people will say to a blog like mine and messages like yours that God has everything under control.
Yes, I've heard that many times from Christians. Don't worry about it. He's in control. So what do you say to that?
Well, I believe that the unintended bottom line on that is that they're saying, I don't really need to do anything, and it breeds passivity. But why did the Lord's Prayer say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Because it isn't being done. And it's a prayer for the evil on the earth to be invaded by the heaven and the power of God. So that's why I say you can't pray the Lord's Prayer and say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, without having God say, okay, now that you said that to me, can I give you some strategies, tactics, and responses, and some action that you must take to go along with this prayer? Otherwise, your prayer is absolutely a mockery of prayer.
Hmm.
And that's why I said that.
So overall, when we're looking at the body of Christ, the church, the leaders of faith, the people that go to church, Mario, people that are following God, you're saying that right now, see, you and I know agree on this, but I just want to make sure we verbalize this for the audience. This is not the time to sit back and say, well, President Trump won, we're good. This is not the time to lay back, is it?
No. When we began to drain the swamp, we had no idea that the critters that were in there and how violent they would be.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm trying to get to the Christians is that there is already a deep state. There's already been a takeover. And Trump was a miracle. There was absolutely no way to explain it. Not since the Super Bowl and the comeback of the New England Patriots did we see anything this astounding. There was no way to explain. That's why the rage has been so vehement, because they know this was not supposed to happen. When Hillary Clinton spent five times the amount of money that Trump spent to run for president and lost. Now Trump is a miracle. You know, in the Bible, Daniel knew a miracle when he saw it. He saw that 70 years were up and Israel could go back home. Mm-hmm. And God moved the heart of King Cyrus. That's what everybody's talking about. They say Trump is like King Cyrus. Well, if he is like King Cyrus, then we better wake up, because King Cyrus only helped Israel once. And we only have 4 years.
Right.
And you know that many in Israel didn't even want to go back to their promised land. Didn't even want to go back because they had been paganized.
Mm-hmm.
That's the American Christian.
Yeah.
They really don't understand that Trump represents a call to arms and duty for the believer in a very dark moment. God wants to build on that miracle. He wants to give us another miracle of the moral reformation of America through repentance and turning to Christ.
That's right.
That's what God is working toward.
Yeah.
That's the miracle we have got to realize is going on right now.
Right now, right in our midst. And it's the same miracle that started this nation, Mario. Right?
Yes.
Because Dr. Benjamin Rush, one of my favorite quotes, said, what he said was, everybody listen to this for a moment. I do not believe that the Constitution was an offspring of inspiration, but I am perfectly satisfied that the union of the states in its form and its adoption, here, listen to this part, is as much the work of divine providence than any of the miracles recorded in the Old and New Testament. That's profound.
Profound.
Yeah.
And true. Yeah. And right. And
yeah.
Just.
Yeah.
And our nation has been favored. It has been protected. It has been massive intervention, but it has never faced the onslaught of evil that it is facing right now because of the forces, the power, the conglomeration of voices that are able to influence millions of Americans. That's why we need a miracle from God. See, I don't want to sound like I don't believe that a miracle can happen. That's what our history has been. But we need to have a healthy, reverential alertness to the thing God needs to do in this hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've got to get across.
And you know, Mario, you mentioned this in the blog, and it's true. And our founding fathers were not passive. They were courageous.
No.
They were courageous, and they didn't care if they offended anybody. Could you imagine if the founders were worried about being politically correct, Mario? We wouldn't be here, right? But
correct.
You mentioned in your blog that heaven is not passive. What do you mean by that?
It means that in every generation, heaven is aware not only of what's going on, but before the fact, God is at work. And in one verse, God said, I'm amazed that as I searched, I couldn't find anyone to stand in the gap. So right now, the eyes of the Lord, the word of God says, run to and fro in the earth to prove himself faithful on behalf of those who fear him. Mm-hmm. So someone, let's say that right now in this audience, this vast audience, there's somebody that maybe God has been waiting 100 years for you to come along when the elements of historical occurrence are lined up the way they are. And you are a voice, you are a specific gift. And what we're getting in church is not arming the saints, it's disarming the saints. It's Amen. Not producing a depth of yearning to be used of God, but basically to calm down, everything's fine. God is so into you that he's not going to try to change you. And this is disaster. That's what we've got to avert. And I believe God will. I believe God is going to save America. But it's not going to be without painful and radical adjustments in the body of Christ.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, in order to have this kind of transformation you're talking about, it's not going to be a walk in the park, as you would say, right? It's not.
No.
Things have to change. Mario, what you just said is right as well. There are many people that God is calling on right now to help and be a part of this. And
right.
I wanted to, before we go, I think that, you know, we've talked about all of our founders, and each and every one of them, by the way, played an important role. You know, David Barton told me last week when I saw him at NRB that if one of them had not kept their commitment to each other, which is that, remember, they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Now, if one of them hadn't have kept that covenant, we probably wouldn't have made it. And these guys, most of them died poor and they died young because they gave up everything. And I think I've got many favorite quotes from them. But remember, our first president was a war hero before he became our president. And so if you want to take just a slight measurement as to where we were as a nation spiritually, this is the first Thanksgiving proclamation given by George Washington. And what he says, it's only one sentence, but it says everything. He says, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor. That pretty much says it all. That's the man that set the bar so high. Thank you, Mr. President. Mario, as we always do, we're going to close the show out with a prayer for our listeners and our nation.
I would like to say, oh God, that whoever is listening today is not listening by accident. And if their soul needs you, please, Lord, convict them of their sin and their need for Christ. But for the vast audience who love you and know you and are yearning for understanding of what to do in these dark times, I ask for a specific fire to be ignited in their heart, for them to understand that we are not to cave into fear, but there is going to be a powerful, living reality of your intervention in this nation. We are not afraid, but we are in respectful reverence of our need for you today, O God. Send us your mercy and your grace in the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mario. We want to thank everybody for joining us. Mario, it was great to have you on the first show, and there's going to be many, many more to come. It's an honor to have you with the show now. It's a blessing. We're going to be back next week, and we know first one of our guests is going to be the famous Benham Brothers that were on HGTV. So they're going to join us. Mario and I are going to talk to them next week. We invite you to join us next week. And in the meantime, keep praying for your nation and stay strong, America. This is Mark Anthony, your patriot.
And Mario Murillo, your preacher.
Yes. And we will be back next week. Thank you all for joining us. God bless America.